Ephesians, please, this morning. Ephesians. It's always good to be back, see faithful people, familiar faces. Wonderful. By the way, how many of you have ever been to a birthday party? Sure, probably your own. How many of you have ever been to a baseball game? Okay. How many of you have ever been to church? How many of you have ever been to a bragathon? Bragathon? Yeah, you probably all have, and actually that's what I would like to do this morning. Invite you to a bragathon. You know, really, as God's children, if you think about this, as God's children, our great privilege is to brag on our Heavenly Father. Amen. Yeah. Now, something the Lord just kind of shown me not too long ago, and I wanted to kind of pass it on to you. Ephesians chapter 3, are you there? Now look with me, and I want to start here in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, to him be glory. The Greek word there is doxa. We get our doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You know what I'm saying? So, now think about it. So really, what is a bragathon? Well, it's going through life giving credit to whom credit is due. It's going through life bragging on the Lord. Now, so with that in mind, I want to kind of move in this particular direction. God is a very giving God. Do you realize that? Actually, he's an extravagantly giving God. You take, go to nature. You take one little apple seed and you drop it in the ground, and what do you get? An apple tree. I mean, you talk about extravagant. God is incredibly extravagant in his giving. One little seed, and we have two of those trees in our yard where we live. So, and one little seed planted there produced a whole entire tree. And then you've just got hundreds and hundreds of apples on that every year. Year after year after year. Now, how many of you can see that is an extravagant thing? Now, and so my wife and I were talking about and did some research. If you plant fruits, all fruit trees are that way. They just keep growing, producing, and producing, and producing. Vegetables, it's not quite that way. You have to plant them every year. But you plant one little tomato seed, guess what happens? And we did that this year. You know, we plant gardens because we're seldom there. We call the neighbors, okay, we're not going to be back home. Go ahead and pick whatever's ripe. But, I mean, one little tomato seed, and you got a whole entire, but every year you have to do that. But still, it's incredible what one little tomato plant can produce. Am I right about that? So, here's what I want to say to you. God is incredibly extravagant in his giving. And with that in mind, so nature teaches us that. But I wanted to do this. I wanted to go and take a look at some Bible verses. Now look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. And by the way, I want you to be thinking about this because I said this was a bragathon, and at the end, I'm going to try to shoot through here and give you time to be thinking about a situation in your life where God was extravagantly kind and generous to you. Would you do that? Think about that, and you'll see where I'm going here. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, here's what the Bible says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, catch this now. If you will seek God, catch this, He will make it worth your while. Isn't that what it said? Look at it one more time. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith means you're going to trust him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He will reward you for that. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, and look at what it says here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward him, toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." So God won't forget that. He actually, and we don't serve him to get something. We just serve him because we love him. But he's saying to you and I that our Father is an incredibly, extravagantly giving Father. And not only that, but you tell me, what do you think was the biggest gift that he ever gave us? His Son, Jesus Christ. Now look with me in Luke for a second. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The Bible says, "Give," that's pretty simple, "and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure," now this is important, "that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So to the same proportion degree that you give, it shall be given unto you. Now, I used to think, now how would God give to us? You know, all of a sudden just money or something start falling out of heaven, right kind of where you are. I suppose he could do that if he wanted to. But it says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Shall men give unto your bosom." See, you give to somebody, they may never give back to you, but God may press somebody else over here to give to you. Do you see what I'm saying? So when other people are generous to you and go beyond what would be expected, then you should give credit to who? Should be a brag-a-thon to the Lord. Now, let me go to the Bible here and show you some illustrations, and then I want you to share with us maybe some illustrations you've had in your life. So here, go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Now, the disciples were having the same kind of question. By the way, all across the planet, people are looking for a belief system. Think about this. They're looking for a belief system that will generate success in their life. I mean, nobody is going to move toward a belief system. You believe in this particular doctrine and you will be the biggest failure on the planet. Nobody's going to volunteer to go that direction. Everything that we do in life is always, you think about this, all of life is centered around desire of gain or fear of loss. All the decisions you make all day long, even getting here, desire for gain, fear of loss. Frankly, as a young policeman in the process of getting a divorce, my whole life was crumbling in front of me and I could see a huge loss coming. And I didn't want that, but I didn't know where to go to get that thing fixed. And then my wife got saved, started going to church. I followed her to church. I got saved, and all of a sudden, a whole new belief system opened up to me. And I began to realize, oh, okay, so the direction I was going, humanism, humans doing what they think would be the best, was leading me totally to failure. And now a belief system in the Word of God, then I'm telling you, that's where success comes from. Does this make sense? Now, the disciples kind of got a handle on this. Look from here, Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold," to the Lord, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Now, how many of you say, well, that sounds a little carnal. Maybe you would say it like this. Well, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? Now, the reason I started following the Lord, because I tried the other path, and my word, it was just absolute destruction. Then the path of the Lord showed up, and I'm thinking, I have absolutely nothing to lose. I'm already a loser. I need to be moving in some other direction. And it was totally against exactly the direction I was going. By the way, how many of you know, now catch this now, how many of you know the Bible is not a logical book? Think about it. So the Bible says, even if you're poor, give and what? Ah, see, that makes no sense to me. And that's why people don't tithe. No, I can't afford to. No, really, you can't afford not to. But it's all about trust, see? It's all about faith. So, but the disciples, they had the same challenging thought here. Now, here's where it goes in verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They would have had no idea a huge thing like that's coming. Verse 29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. In other words, they were saying, well, Lord, what will I get if we follow you? And he was saying, look, I will make it worth your while. Now, that's not a carnal thing. Our Father in heaven is incredibly fair, and he's incredibly extravagant in his giving. Now, just go to one little place here, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Now, this is a familiar story. I want to start verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. You know, they usually did fishing at night, didn't catch anything, so they were cleaning up all, toiled all night, cleaning up their nets now. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, think about this. So, Peter had already been fishing all night, remember? Nothing had happened. Verse 5. And Simon answering him said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, this is where faith is, at thy word, if you say that's what we should do, I will let down the net. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, what are we really saying here? Look at it this way. Jesus said, Peter, I would like to rent your boat. I'll make it worth your while if you'll let me use your boat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they pushed away from shore. It was kind of like an amphitheater. Water magnifies and amplifies sound. So they put, and Jesus preached, and he said, okay, because we serve an incredibly, extravagantly giving God. He said, okay, since you let me borrow your boat, then I'd like to repay you. He will reward them that diligently seek him. How many of you are on the boat yet? Are you on this? Now here, catch this. So he told them, okay, now I know it's kind of against the normal, go fishing during the day, and I know you fished all night, I knew you were cleaning your nets, but here's what I would like for you to do. If you'll just kind of push out over there and fish right here in this area, guess what God did? Now, do you know they caught so many fish that it was breaking their nets, they had to call some other boats in, some of their partners, filled up those boats. Now, how many of you think maybe God is an incredibly, extravagantly giving God? For the use of a boat for just a little while, are you picking up on this? My word, look what happened. Wouldn't you like to loan your boat out for a few hours and make enough money that would be a salary for a whole year? How many think God's a little bit on the incredibly extravagant giving side? Now look at another thing. Well, and before you do that, I had in my notes here. So I got saved as a policeman and went off to Bible college. And what do you need when you go to Bible college? Money. No question about that. But you need a place to stay and a job. And, you know, I was still pretty new at this whole Christian stuff. And I hadn't been saved maybe a couple and a half years. And God called me to preach, and it was scary. I'd never been down that path before. So I went, talked to my pastor. And he said, well, here's the Bible college you should go to. I thought it was probably only one on the planet because none of that stuff was in my understanding. So drove down there, and here's kind of the bottom line. In 20 minutes, I had a job. I went. He said, I want you to go in and talk to the president of the college. I said, okay. I'm a nobody. I walked in and said, my pastor said I should come and meet you and thank you for having a Bible college, and I want to come here. He said, what kind of work were you in? I said, policeman. He said, oh, good. You got saved as a policeman. I said, yes, sir. He said, oh, hang on a second. Daryl, come in a second. Daryl's in charge of our police security here on campus. He said, you have any openings? He said, well, yeah, we're looking for somebody even now. He said, why don't you go talk to Daryl? 20 minutes, I had a job. Bingo. And then trying to find a place to stay. Oh, how many know that is a hard thing in a Bible college town? And it was Springfield, so you had the charismatic Bible college. You had another secular college, and you had the Baptist Bible college. And so we looked, couldn't find a thing. I mean, no place to rent. We started out of town, and my wife said, oh, look at that. I said, what? She said, well, those trailers over there. I said, yeah, honey, you know, I grew up as a migrant worker's kid, and we lived in shacks and trailers, and I kind of made a promise to myself. I don't want to ever live in a trailer, you know. And she said, well, I've never been in one. She was kind of from the rich side of the tracks. And I said, you know, we just need to drive on home and be done. She said, well, could I just look? You don't even have to get out of the car. I pulled in, didn't even get out of the car. And because I'd been in that stuff before. So she went in and looked around. She said, you know, here, come in. This is pretty nice. And so I walked into the trailer, and they had updated them a whole lot better than when I was there. And here was the story. We lived in Kansas City, and the guy said, oh, yeah, we just repossessed this mobile home from Kansas City, Missouri. Just brought it under the lot here in Springfield. And so I looked at it, and I'm thinking, wow, this is better than what I ever remember living in. And he said, here's a couch. I guess they just kind of, whatever was in there when they repossessed it was in there. So it was one of those old couches where click, 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 and it makes into a bed, or click, 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 and it makes into a couch. So click, click, and I looked underneath there. There was notebook paper, three-ring notebook, laying all over the place. And a three-ring binder, metal, made out of steel, in that thing. And it was an incredible deal. We bought it right on the spot. It was enough notebook paper. I used that same notebook all the years through Bible college. Now, how many of you think God is an extravagant? So in one little weekend, 20 minutes, found a job, just a little bit of searching, God put... And then when the whole thing was over, we sold the trailer for more than what we bought it for. See, God is extravagantly, incredibly good at giving. I think we forget that. Now look with me here at another. Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 17. All sermons have usually two points, a good and a bad point. It's like a coin. So one side of this coin is good. God is incredibly giving. The tail side of this is stop being stingy. How many of you know we're stingy people? We're self-centered, stingy people. And God says, and you're not getting close enough to my biblical law. If you will just give, then it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. If you'll just step across the line. Now here's what this is simple. Matthew chapter 17. There was a big, starting in verse 24, the big question that the Pharisees were wanting to know is, came to the disciples, does Jesus pay taxes? That was the big contest. And Jesus said, well, so as not to offend them, then here he gave Peter some instructions in verse 27. Look what it says. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up a fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, do you hear what just happened? I mean, Jesus said, okay, Peter, I would like to use your time. I would like to use your skills. He was a fisherman. Would you do something for me? Would you just go down and I just want you to cast in first fish you catch, drag the thing in, open its mouth, and you're going to find, catch this now, enough money in that one fish to pay for my taxes, and I'd like to pay for your taxes. How would you like to go fishing and be able to pay your taxes for a whole entire year? Can I say, get an amen on that? Now, what are we talking about? This is a bragathon. This is really what God is doing for us all the time, and we forget it. We just tend to forget it. Yep. Look with me in John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. And then I'm going to be calling on you in a couple of minutes to just ask a simple question. Bragathon, what is it that God has done in your life? You maybe sowed a little something and you reaped a huge amount. Sometimes you'll sow at a particular season, and how many of you know the crops don't come in the next day? So you got to keep that in mind. But I'm just saying, give and it shall be given unto you. So here you're in John chapter 6. Now, it's the whole story of the feeding of the 5,000. How many of you remember reading that? Okay, so, but the word of God is so good. Let's just start in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every man of them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now that means there was probably wives and women there and then all the children. Verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments and that remain, and that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves that remained over and above them that had eaten. Now, here's the question. What did Jesus do with those 12 basketfuls of food that was left over? He didn't want to waste them. He gave them to somebody. He gave them to, who do you think? That little boy. That little boy comes with a little lunch. See, now our Father is incredibly, extravagantly good at giving. So he took a little boy's lunch and turned that thing into, he said, son, you know what? I want to thank you for giving your lunch here. And here's how I'm going to thank you. I don't wonder who carried the 12 baskets home with that little boy. You 12 disciples, come over here a minute, please. Each one of you, would you grab a... I just want to thank this little boy for what? For giving up something. Church, we're stingy people. We really are. Do you realize you can't hardly go to Burger King? Don't you have a Burger King here? You can't hardly go to your new Taco Bell, I see. That's good addition. You're heading the right direction. You can't hardly go there and buy anything for $5. Now think with me. Do you realize, yeah, that's good. That's what my wife and I do. For $5, one trip to Burger King or Taco Bell, for $5 you could send a whole entire Bible to another country in their language. Now, why don't we think about that? We should be thinking about that. Giving the gospel to someone else and that I've never heard before. Now, here's what I would like to ask you. Can you think of times in your life when you've given and maybe didn't even think about it, you gave and then God did what? Supernaturally did something else. Two fellows in our church, I'm going to share this. How are we doing here, time-wise? Yeah. And then I want you, if you have something you'd like to share. They were having an argument over, one was a mechanic and the other one needed a truck overhauled, and so he did it, paid for it, but didn't run as long as he thought, so they called me in to solve their problem. And I didn't know what to do, but the Lord prompted me, sell your car, preacher, and take the money, give half to the mechanic, half to the other guy for the parts. Now, how many of you know that is not logical? And I didn't feel like doing that, to be real frank with you, but it was real clear. Now, I did that, and so they got their car fixed and so forth, and nobody knew. At the end of, so next Sunday, I put that thing out on the edge of the church lot. Boom, it sold in 2 days. And the next Sunday, here came a guy. He said, you know, my wife and I got a new car. I said, really? He said, yeah, you want to come look at it? I said, sure. Walked out there, and I said, what'd you do, trade your other car in? No, he said, you know, you don't get much of on a trade-in. He reached in his pocket, pulled out a pink slip, the title, and said, we had prayed about it. We want to give this to you and your wife, and you can keep it or give it away, whatever you want to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, I know that car. That's better than the car that I sold. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, boy, it's going to be so exciting to tell my wife over lunch, see? And then that was between Sunday school and church. After church, there came another guy. He said, did I tell you my uncle died? I said, yeah, I think. He said, well, you know, they've just had the reading of the will and stuff, and he left me his car. I said, well, isn't that wonderful? He said, but I don't need three cars. So my wife and I prayed about this, and he pulled out a pink slip. And he said, we'd just like to give it to you and your wife. You can keep it or whatever. Now, how many of you know that God is an incredibly, extravagantly giving God? What's our problem, church? Now, a bragathon is when you're bragging on someone, see? Now, can we take a couple of minutes here? Give us an idea of something that, and this is a bragging on the Lord, something you did and how kind and generous God was. Anyone? Yes, ma'am, please. Here. Good. Good. Now hang on a second. Yes. Now, can you hear in the back? Okay, we're going to work a microphone your way here. Now, here, hang on. So she has in the past, the Lord's prompted her to give love offerings.
Yeah. And so I was...
Makes you breathe heavy.
I was hesitant. And he told me how much to give him, too.
Oh, really?
He was specific. Oh. He told me how much to give him.
Perfect.
And so I did what God told me to do. Well, last Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday, I like going to auctions and buying stuff cheap and trying to resell it, make some more money.
Sure.
But get a load of this. I couldn't believe it. It poured down rain last Saturday. So there really wasn't that big of a crowd. And I only had like one table and some sewing stuff. That was it. It went so-so. But the major thing is we went down to the toys. And the auctioneer said first, from 9 to 10, they was going to do my toys. And then they're just going to start on the coins. So that's what I assume, because, you know, normally you have more people first, and they just start winding away.
Sure.
Well, I went down, and there's only like 15 people there. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be giving these toys away.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to go for nothing. We get this. I couldn't believe it. Some of them went pretty good. But there were. I had an ERTL truck. It had a red cab and a white bed to it. It was okay. It was pretty. Everything, I couldn't believe it. He started bidding on it and got like $75, $80, got up $200.
Oh, my word.
And I'm like, James, am I hearing this right? Got to $250, got $275, got to $300. I'm like, am I hearing this right? And everything, I couldn't believe it. It sold for $320.
Oh, my word.
I couldn't believe it. And I give God all the praise.
Amen.
And all the thanks to him, because it was God. There's only like 15 people there.
Amen.
And these two people hung around for it. And it's like $320. It's like, I'm still in shock.
See, okay, now what's the moral of the story? Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Yes.
Great testimony, right behind you there. Did I see another hand back here? Anyone else? Yes, please. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a wedding this year. Mother got sick.
Go there.
And that's extravagant.
It is, yeah.
Because it cost almost $300 to buy your hunting license.
Yeah.
And so you don't go just, we men would like to tell you it's for the meat.
Yeah. Expensive meat, yeah.
It's not for that, but it's the time to spend, with my dad. And God just provided, where we wouldn't have to take from things that happened. And same way with us when we went to Bible college.
Yeah. Amen.
God's just extravagant.
Yeah, extravagant.
Amen.
Now we got room for maybe a time for one more. Anyone else? Oh, over here. Yes, ma'am.
I think God has a comfort of people, too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, outstanding. You know, over the years, that first time we gave away our car, and you know, then we got two within a week. Over the years, the Lord has given us 14 cars. I'm thinking, well, if the ministry doesn't work out, I could start a used car lot, you know, something like that. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for your generosity to us. And Lord, we do not want to take that for granted. And I pray this morning, even for those that spoke and those in their heart that were producing a brag-a-thon for you, that you would be pleased. Help us to be better at recognizing that you are an incredibly, extravagantly giving God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.